I think we make things so much more complicated and difficult in our heads. And one of the things that I tell creators on a regular basis is it's not just good enough to say, I'm going to have a community on Discord. There has to be a purpose behind it. There has to be something that you can offer there that you can't offer on a Facebook group.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Hive Podcast. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We have a great episode in store for you this week. Let's welcome Keely Dunn, also known as Discord for Creators, to the podcast. What's up, Keely? How you doing?
I am amazing, and I'm incredibly excited to be here. So I'm sorry if I start rambling or I talk too fast, because that's just the level of activation I have right now being on the Hive. So thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. I'm excited that you agreed to come on the show. You know, we hang around a lot of the same sphere of people on like the YouTube and Ecamm fams. For everyone listening, Ecamm fam is just everybody that's evolved in the Ecamm community that uses the application and helps each other out. So I'm excited to have you on. We're going to talk about Discord in this episode. And this is great because I know next to nothing about Discord or even how to use it. Guys, Keely had to message me and be like, hey, every time you're logging on, you're creating a new account.
I forgot I did that. Oh my goodness. You're not the only one, Jared. And you just feel that, like, understand that you are not alone. This is a journey for everybody. And yeah, you're good now though.
Yeah. She's like,
you won't do it again.
Did you mean to make like four accounts every time you log in? Like, no, I just don't remember my password. And it's just, I'm just clicking buttons. I have no idea what I'm doing. Usually I'm pretty tech savvy, but Discord, I think, well, we're going to talk about this, but I think it, like, the the oversimplification of it, like, it's so simple to use that it was actually like confusing me a little bit, because it is kind of a stripped down application for community building. Like, it's just very basic. I think I was overcomplicating it.
I love that perspective. I haven't heard many people say that, but I think that's actually quite accurate. Now, I'm quite a bit older than you, so you probably don't remember the old days of, you know, internet relay chats and bulletin board forums.
It's what it reminds me of.
Oh, well, perfect, because that's exactly what it was for me. I was in those environments back in university, and I remember sneaking into the computer lab at university, typing away to my friends and, ooh, this is hot, this new online world. I want to be all a part of it. And then you open up Discord and you're like, wow, we are back in the 90s again. This is amazing in a lot of ways, but it has so much more functionality than those platforms used to have back in the day. But there's something about that that I found the interface just throws people for a loop. And so you found it simple. A lot of people just say, I'm stuck, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, did you try clicking on something? And they're like, no, tell me more about this. And I'm like, okay, here we go. It's just a website in a lot of ways. Just think of it as a website that has a database of communication.
Yeah.
And once you look at it that way, I think it really helps diffuse a lot of those anxieties and concerns that people have about trying to learn this new platform, which really is kind of an old platform in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So in this episode, we're going to talk everything Discord. Keely's going to educate me. So if she's educating me, hopefully some of you get something out of it too, learning about Discord. We're going to talk about how it kind of fills a gap in community building for creators or really for anybody that wants to leverage it. Businesses can. It doesn't really matter who, but it's a great platform for building community. But before we dive into all that, Keely, why don't you give us a little bit of a background of who you are and what you do and how you're helping creators with Discord?
Yeah. My origin story in Discord, as I now title it, is very dramatic in the sense that I came into it like everybody does, saying, no way. What are you talking about? This platform, it's for gamers, and I'm very professional about everything I do. So it was really funny. I was on a live stream with my regular crowd, and I think I'd made a comment about how this was back in earlier 2021. made a comment about how my Facebook group was just crickets. And this was the platform that I was offering my membership services on, my mentoring, my watch parties, my, you know, my secret training and all that sort of thing. And it was just, it was horrible. I couldn't get anybody to engage. And I really wanted my membership, which I had launched maybe 5 months earlier, to, like, I needed this to work. And one of my very senior community members chimed up in the chat and said, Keely, you need a Discord. And I was like, yeah, I need a Discord. What's a Discord? And I had no idea. Promptly Googled it afterwards, and I messaged this senior member of my community who ended up being a 15-year-old, you know, Dutch kid, basically a gamer. And I was like, oh, Niels, man, this is awesome, but this is not going to be for my community. My people are on Facebook. My people are in Instagram. I'm really big in the 50 to 75-year-old sort of English demographic in my FH umpires community. And I thought there's no way this is going to work. But he kept going. He convinced me. He said, Keely, don't worry. I'll set up the server for you. You just come in, invite a few of the other people that are big in your community, your moderators and things like that. We'll see what happens. I was like, okay, cool. So we did that, and it just took off in a very organic way that I don't see happening on a lot of community platforms. And for me, that's what makes Discord special, is that just that casual feeling. I mean, it's great to have platforms where it's like, I'm a professional and I'm a business, but it's also, if that's not you, if that's not your personality as a creator, imagine a place, as they like to say on Discord. That's their catchphrase. Imagine a place. Imagine a place where you can just sort of go and hang out with the person that you're learning from as a creator, that and you want to share information with, and you want to engage with the other people, the other members of the community, and it's just fun. Like, that's a great place to be. So that's where I got into Discord. And because I'm a pretty big nerd, like most people, I got into this tool and then I wanted to know everything about it. I was like, how do you make bots? How do you do this? What are the analytics that are available? I wanted to know everything and start learning how to do it myself. And it was earlier this year that Doc Rock approached me. I was like, Doc, you got to get your community into Discord, man. It's a total great fit for you. You're going to love it. And he said, I already have a Discord and my 8 friends are on it. And I said, okay, let's take a hot minute and have a look at this. So I redid his server, and then more so just gave him the impetus to start bringing people there. Like, we're going to do stuff in there and it's going to be great. And all the community activities are going to be in there, and you guys can talk amongst yourselves, and we're going to have exercises and resources and all this sort of thing. And it just worked. And then within about a month, Doc, who is formerly my mentor, very formal arrangement we have, him and I. And he said, Keels, Whistles, you got to do this. You just got to do this. You got to start showing other creators how to do a community. And within, I don't know, about 6 days, I had a website. I had all my social media platforms. I had a pricing structure, which was terrible and totally ruined me in the first couple of months. And I just started going with it because I thought, yeah, I'm really excited about this. And what a way to share what I've been able to build, which I know is one of the hardest things about creator endeavors, creator businesses, is how do you get that community going and how do you build what you want to have? So that's basically what happened. And now I'm showing people how to use Discord. And there you go. Instant expert.
Well, I mean, I love the story. I love learning about your journey. How easy was it to make that switch? Because I think a lot of people were using Facebook and still are using Facebook for the community aspect when they want to get their community over to a more engaged platform where they can be a part of a community. And a lot of people are still using that, and it's okay. I hardly open Facebook anymore. Like, if I do, it's usually marketplace because I'm looking maybe to buy something or sell something, right? I think their marketplace is good, but for the community aspect, just the way that flows, like on the timeline and stuff, I'm just not a big fan of it. So how easy was that transition for you? Was it pretty difficult at first? Would it be easy for someone to make that transition?
I think we make things so much more complicated and difficult in our heads. And one of the things that I tell creators on a regular basis is it's not just good enough to say, I'm going to have a community on Discord. There has to be a purpose behind it. There has to be something that you can offer there that you can't offer on a Facebook group. And when you take into account all the flaws of Facebook, like, for example, the fact you're competing for your members' attention with, you know, their drunken uncle's political beliefs, with, you know, cat memes, with, you know, all these other things, with ads and ads and ads. When you take those things into account, the fractured attention, the indecipherable timeline, I mean, who can, and the lack of searchability. Have you ever tried to find anything in a Facebook group? Have you ever said, oh man,
it's so hard?
2 weeks ago, there was this post I loved from this guy. I got to go find it. Like, there's nothing available in search.
Right.
So you take those things into account and then you tell your community, look, look, guys, we have this place where you are going to be able to be in so much closer contact with me. We're going to do some really cool ish together. And I know that this is going to be valuable for you. Come on over. And so I took maybe 4 months, I think, before I actually closed down my Facebook group, which again was crickets. Like, there was nothing, I wasn't losing anything there, except I was just asking people to make a change.
It was really smart that you didn't do it overnight. Like, giving people plenty of time to get adjusted to it. That's great.
Yeah. And I wanted to get situated myself. I wanted to learn what kind of things could I do here. And when I realized, oh, I can offer my workshops in there. And I can put those experiences in a place where those people who buy that product from me engage to that level of learning, and then they're in the middle of the whole rest of the community. I mean, that's powerful. That is so dope. That is the kind of, I hate using the word retention, but that's the kind of stickability that you want from your community, is that they see all these other things that are great, and you're continuing to build that relationship that we all need to build with our community members, because we want our super fans, we want our true fans, we want our, you know, all those things that I've heard lots of guests on your podcast talk about. So that for me was, you know, you just kind of have to bite the bullet, in the same way that some people used to stream on Facebook and then they said, nah, let's go to YouTube. And you just have to do it. And if you offer something of value and you give a reason for your community members to come, they will come. The good ones, the ones that you want.
Yeah.
The ones who are invested in you and want to give back to you and want to keep supporting you because they know you're supporting them. It's, I don't know, it just works. It's a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, that's great. It does filter out those who really want to be part of the community, it seems like, because there is a little bit extra of a step to downloading the app, learning how to use the app. So there is that extra step. Rewinding for a second, when you said like searching for something in a group, it's hilarious how many times I've seen people ask a question and the response is always like, well, have you done search? We've answered this question multiple times, but like, have you actually tried looking for an answer in a group? It's very difficult. It's not the most easiest thing to do. And the answers are usually not that good. So let's rewind for a second then, because we've been talking about how much better it is from a community aspect, like compared to Facebook. What makes Discord better? Let's back up for a second. For anyone that's not familiar, if they're like, I've never heard of Discord, what is this Discord thing they're talking about? Rewind for like a second and kind of give us the layman terms of what Discord is. We talked about it a little bit.
Sure. I think one of the easiest ways to describe it is to say, okay, take Facebook groups and Messenger, WhatsApp groups, Slack, Zoom, which we all hate, obviously, and services like that, and then put them all together in a place that's lightweight, that it can grow very organically around your needs, your community's needs, that you can customize in really cool ways, that you can have monetized memberships on, that you can have gamification of participation on, that you can play music in that doesn't feel like the gray box that Zoom does. Like, we all know this feeling, right? You go into a Zoom meeting and you're like, oh, this is the worst. It just feels like you're trapped in a cubicle. It's just got that feeling to it. I don't know why Discord is so different, but voice channels, they kind of feel like virtual, you know, sorority and fraternity houses. Like, you're just kind of hanging out in rooms together going, hey, what's up? And chatting away, and it just doesn't look the same. It feels like a home rather than an office. And with so many of us creating content around really trying to encourage people to share what they have inside them that maybe they're not super confident that they're experts in, but they're expert enough to share something beautiful and something interesting and knowledgeable. You want that setting to be just as chill as possible. And that to me is what Discord is in a nutshell. So it's a Slack that doesn't suck. It's a Zoom that doesn't suck. It's Facebook that doesn't suck. It's those things. The one thing Discord isn't, though, it's not a discoverability platform. So a lot of people think, okay, I don't have a community, but I'm going to make a Discord community and it's going to grow.
Right.
Let's slow your roll, big rig. It doesn't quite work like that, because especially in the beginning, until you've reached a certain size and then you intentionally open it up to be discoverable, your Discord is, it's the end place. It's that end destination in your relationship with your community. So you still need the social media. You still need the YouTube live streams where you're getting to know people and you're finding out what questions they have and saying, hey, do you want to take this relationship to another level? Come into my Discord and let's talk some more. And that's the end place where I get to hang out with my favorite people. And I hope I'm one of their favorite people. And we've built a whole place full of favorite people who all dig talking about the same stuff and are learning from each other. That was the longest answer to the shortest question. What is Discord? That.
While you're talking, I'm thinking about the thing I love most about Discord. And I'm really, I think I'm only on the Ecamm Discord. Like, I'm just scratching the surface of Discord. And so I'm only on Ecamm. But
yeah,
what I love is, like, you know, we talked about going to Facebook and you see a bunch of ads and you, like, you know, I go on Facebook and if I'm trying to look for something for Ecamm, I might see Ecamm, I might see an ad for a local brewery, I might see a Disney Plus ad for sure for like a new Star Wars series or something, family posts, a bunch of stuff. But the nice thing about going to Discord is you'll only see the Discord that you're in. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, I'm in Ecamm, I'm only going to see stuff related to the Ecamm Discord. And even within that, you got to go to specific topics that you're looking for. Like, I was on another Discord and I wouldn't see, if I go to the Ecamm Discord, I won't see anything from that Discord because I'm not in that Discord at the time. Right. Which is nice. It's basically like you're going to separate quote unquote websites specifically for that kind of. And
exactly.
If I had to put a term to it. That's why I love
it. It's kind of like you're in a suburb.
Yeah.
And you're going on one of those dinner crawls where you're going to each person's house and you're having a dish there. And they're really good at desserts at this house. And then they're really good at cocktails at this house. And you're going to all these houses. That's what servers feel like to me, is that there's a series of them that you can join. And you might be at any time only in one server. I figured I was going to be in, I was just going to have my server and that was just going to be my place. And now I'm in about 50.
That's a lot.
And it's a little silly. But one of the things that's so great about that application is that I'm in some servers, for example, that are support servers for bots that I use in my own stuff, in the servers that I'm supporting. And I want to have a really quick place that I can go and search for answers to questions that I have, because search is so good in Discord. You've got all these, not Boolean search operators, but ways you can tailor your search down to usernames or post date ranges or has media in it, or, you know, all these amazing things that you can say, right, Jared posted that really cool video 6 months ago. I can search and I can narrow it down so quickly because of those operators.
That's awesome.
So, but I can turn off notifications for any of the servers that I'm in. I can turn off notifications for categories in the servers that I'm in, or even just channels. There might be a specific channel, like off topic. I don't need to get a ping every time somebody squirrels out. I love squirreling. It's really great and it's awesome for communities, but it's not necessarily a high priority item for me. So I always turn that off in the servers that I'm in and things like that. So everything is just so much more customizable. You have control over what you see. Whereas on social media, you have no control over what you see. And as we were talking about before, you know, we started recording, we're having less and less control over what we see because recommendation media is the big thing. It's where everybody thinks, all these companies think the money's at. So there you go. That to me is the biggest strength, and it makes it manageable for me to be in 50 servers because I'm not paying attention to them all the same way.
Right.
And some weeks I'm super into one server, and then 2 weeks later I'm actually a lot more into this other one. So you have the control, and I think that is really awesome for all of your community members.
Yeah, the amount that you can customize it seems absolutely amazing. You're dropping a bunch of terms that I am unfamiliar with, but let's talk about bots for a second, because when you say bots, I think bad, right? Bots, bad, because coming from YouTube, you have all these spam bots, right? That are leaving comments like crazy. Same thing on Instagram and really any other platform, but bots are actually good on Discord?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they are good because they're little pieces of automation, little layers of programs over top, and bots are actually, they operate in your server as members. So you're literally inviting a bot to come into your server and say, hey, can you do these things for me? It would be really dope. Can you play music for this amount of time? Or can you post a formatted message every time I go live on my channel? Can you do these things for me? Yeah, I can. And they're just gorgeous little pieces of functionality. Can bots go wrong? Seldomly, but you know, everything's possible. Usually it's humans. Humans are the problem on Discord when they want to spam you in the DMs about their latest crypto offering. But again, you can control those things too. You can make sure your profile's locked down and things like that. But no, bots are these just really cute little helper things. So even in my FH Umpire server, I have a custom bot for this bot called Me6, which is very, very popular in the Discord world. It's probably on like 4 million servers or something like that. It's very high. I should actually look that up. Somebody can fact check me on that. And you can customize it, and I've just made this cute little red robot is the icon for it, because I want people to think when they see a message from that bot, it's like, oh, it's the cute little FH Umpires bot, and instead of going, ah, it's a spam or something like that. Okay. So a lot of what they do with Discord is trying to put a more friendly face on things that maybe could seem a little off-putting or have negative connotations in the outside world, but in the inner Discord world, it's fun and frivolity.
Well, it seems like a really great platform from everything that you've been telling me. The amount that you can customize it, how you can search, how you're not distracted by a bunch of stuff you don't want to see when you get on. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing, I think, is that its ability to really cultivate a community and build around that. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, let's talk more about that and how, whether you're a creator or a business, you can benefit from having a Discord community. So we'll be right back. I wanted to share with you one of the best decisions and investments I've ever made as a content creator. Nothing has impacted the quality of what I create and how I create as much as Ecamm has. Ecamm is the leading all-in-one live streaming production platform built for Mac. But let me tell you, it is so much more than that. You actually don't even need to live stream with Ecamm. You can use its powerful production platform like I do to record videos and podcasts to ease the burden of post-production. Ecamm supports multiple camera inputs, camera LUTs, and color correction. You can build in scenes, overlays, text, widgets, and sound. The ability to bring on remote guests and record multi-track audio has been huge for this podcast. Oh, and I almost forgot. Ecamm allows you to stream and record in 4K. Good luck finding another application that lets you do that. Rather than being a cloud-based application, which, let's be honest, usually spits out junk, Ecamm is an application on your Mac, leveraging your computer's processing power rather than some remote server, ensuring you get the most power and the best quality. From beginners to experts, from content creators to businesses, thousands trust Ecamm to power their video productions. Use the link in the show notes or the description of the video to download Ecamm and try a 14-day free trial. Use code JARED15 at checkout if you decide to purchase to receive 15% off. Trust me, your future self is going to thank you. Hey guys, welcome back. I'm talking with Keely and we're talking about Discord, and she's a real pro at it because she's known on all the socials as Discords for Creators, right?
That's the name. I've decided that I should have the moniker and the hashtag Discord Whisperer, I think. I think Discord that goes. Guru. So I put it on my, yeah. No. Guru doesn't sound good, but Whisperer is like mysterious and intimate. So I like that idea. Let's please like help me make that happen.
So okay. Keely's helping anyone who wants to leverage the power of Discord to go ahead and do that. We've talked a lot about what it is and the benefits of using it, but let's actually dive into the main thing that I think you want to see people leveraging it for, and that's community. We talked about community before the break and also before we were even recording, how all these other social platforms have kind of gotten away from community. Instagram especially comes to mind, right? Everybody's kind of complaining about Instagram right now and how basically a machine is serving up what it wants you to see or what it thinks you want to see versus you having control of going on and seeing what you want to see. Same thing with Facebook. I mean, they're owned by the same company. Facebook kind of does the same thing. You go on and I want to see something from Ecamm, or I want to look up something for Ecamm, and I see a bunch of ads and a bunch of stuff I don't want to see, and it takes me forever to find the information that I want. Discord, you can search super easily. When you go to a specific server, you're only seeing the stuff that's meant to be seen in that community, which is fantastic. So let's talk about how businesses or creators, more importantly, are leveraging this for community. I think it's great because you know the people that are going to that are there for the community. So I think it makes it that much more valuable, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think it's one of the beauties about Discord is that creators can use it many different ways in order to support the communities, depending on what they are doing. So with my FH Umpire server, I'm an umpire educator and I'm a mentor, coach, occasional kick up the butt kind of person with them. And so I can offer things like watch parties where we all sit down in a voice channel and watch a game together. And I can speak over the game and explain why that umpire is making that decision. And, oh, look at their body language there. That's a really important point. And have an ongoing discussion with my mentees about something that's happening live in a private area that we don't have to worry about copyright considerations, you know, things like that. I have regular group discussions where people come in. We call them huddles. And everybody comes in and talks about the matches they umpired that weekend. What did they learn? What obstacles did they come up against? Is there a particular rule that they didn't quite understand that came up and they're like, I'm not sure if I did that right, or I don't know how to talk to a player who's yelling at me. And we have these really helpful skill building conversations that, again, because of the environment, they just feel more casual and more useful, and people can kind of, you know, let go a little bit more. And another thing that I've not done it myself, which is ridiculous, but I've been recommending this to my clients. So, you know, somebody like Doc Rock, he started doing this where he'll have a backstage area while he's live streaming for members only. And they get to come in and they get to see a different camera angle of literally him streaming from, you know, and you see all his technology when he's pushing these buttons and doing all that kind of stuff. And at times, the moderators are in there.
That's a really good idea, by the way. I think that's fantastic.
Yes. Yes, because, you know, there's been a time or two where a live streamer has been muted inadvertently, and trying to get their attention when they're live is an absolute monstrous task.
And but for everyone listening, hold on. For everyone listening, that happened today. All right, before jumping on this, me and Keely were watching one of Doc's streams. And for a good, I want to say a good 5 minutes, it felt like 5 minutes, he was completely muted and we were all calling him out like, you're muted, there's no sound. I'm texting him. I'm like, Doc, you're muted, dude. It was great.
Jared, why are you talking about old stuff like that?
It's going to be old stuff by the time this episode comes out.
Exactly. So when Doc's in his usual setting, he will have this backstage area and I'll be in there, Paul will be in there, and a couple other mods, and we can easily unmute ourselves and get Doc now, like unmute. And he's, oh, okay. And everything can sort itself out well, or if we have questions that we can kind of skip the line and get his attention right away with a question, or say, hey, Doc, in the comments, you know, Jared had a really good question about how to make sure your podcast show up on the YouTube page. So we can do all that, but also he'll be there beforehand, he'll be there after to keep answering some questions and just give members that extra special time. You know, everybody, I mean, I'm sure that all of the people who engage with your content, Jared, would love to spend a little bit more time with you and be able to ask you, like, here's my special question. Come on, Jared, like, tell me. And I have this use case scenario and, you know, what do you think about this? I want your advice. And those little touches are everything for the people who want to support you and want to keep learning from you. And it gives you more opportunities to learn. So one of the things that really has helped my growth and people around me, like Alec Johnson of Take One Tech. I'm not sure if you've seen him around, but he's absolutely exploding because he is so meticulous about answering people's questions. There can't be a question that goes unanswered for him. So he's got a Discord server, and as soon as somebody asks a question in there, he lives in the future because he's in Thailand, so he will have already made a video answering that question, a little demo. He'll post it unlisted on his YouTube site, and then he'll come back in the Discord and post the link and say, hey, you know, does this work? Does this answer your question? Let's follow up on that. And then bang, within minutes, some of these people sign up for the membership because they're like, I got so much value out of this. I got that opportunity to ask that question, get the answer that works for me, but that answer is also going to be replicatable. He's going to be able to scale that because other people will come in, and if they don't know how to search Discord, that's cool. Nobody's going to Discord shame anybody here, but you can search it for them and say, hey, I did this video back here. Here's the link to the, you know, the post in the channel, and, you know, go look at that. Does that help you? And it just helps build this non-scalable amount of contact with the people who really want that from you. And that will differentiate you from, you know, every other guru out there. You don't want gurus. You want people that you're learning with.
Yeah.
And from, and yeah.
I think that's the most important thing is when you're in a community like that, especially for content creators, you don't want to feel out of place. You don't want to feel like there are gurus that know so much more than you and that they're better than you, because then you don't feel comfortable answering the question because of the expertise that's there, you feel like your question is a dumb question. Even if it's not, even if it's a great question, you might feel hesitant of asking it because, you know, there is so much more experience there, but you don't really feel that in Discord, which is great. I think that's another great aspect of that. At least with the communities that you join, you know, there's not people putting each other down. Where, let's go back to Facebook. Any question that's asked, you're like, I'm afraid to ask questions in any Facebook group I'm in because you just get ripped apart. You just get ripped apart. Like, I thought it was a great question. Yeah. You're like, guess not.
Oops.
And the only person that's ever going to rip you apart on Discord is Keely if you make multiple accounts to log in.
Oh, man. Yeah, why you keep bringing up old stuff? But you bring up a really good point about culture.
Yeah.
And I think in a Discord server, you as a creator, as the community head, lead, whatever you want to call it, you have so many great opportunities to build that culture, because if you are there, you're present, you're engaged, people will follow your lead. So every server has rules when you enter it that you have to accept. Nobody reads them. They're EULA, like nobody cares. But the rules of the server are outlined in behavior that you see. So you as the creator are going to be modeling the behavior. Your moderators are going to be following you, moderate the behavior. And because you have all these little touch points, these, you know, the fact that there is an unwritten rule in my server, in my FH Empire server, that Schitt's Creek and Ted Lasso gifts are valued over all others is something that people have just picked up and they understand that. Or I have a little trick where the maple leaf emoji mm-hmm. reaction, if somebody gives an answer that I formally approve of that answers an umpiring question and I think that's dope, I have nothing to add, well done, I'll mark it with the maple leaf emoji and everybody knows, oh, that's Keeley's official stamp of approval. And people get so stoked. They're like, oh my God, my first maple leaf emoji. Oh, this is great. So you can develop these little fun things because you have multiple opportunities just all throughout the day. And the fact that, you know, people will come in and share their little wins, like, oh, I umpired the final at my tournament last weekend and it went really well. And then everybody can throw confetti on them and glory and emoji react all over the place. They'll do that if you do that as the leader, if your moderators are engaging in that too, your other prominent community members. So I think things don't get out of hand in a Discord server unless you are absent.
Yeah.
Right? If you're present, it's going to be a reflection of you. So if you're a good cat and you behave the way that you want to see out there, you're going to have a great time.
On top of that, unlike where you have to have like a physical moderator, like a physical person in a Facebook group, can't these bots, right, and Discord help you with some of that moderation to keep everything the way you intend your server to be?
Absolutely. So you've got tools like Meesix that I mentioned before that have auto moderation features in them. So for example, if you're the kind of person who doesn't like to see a ton of emojis in a single post, so spammers can often use this as a tool to sort of, you know, not give any valuable information, but make something very eye-catching as they use a bunch of emojis. You can set a rule that says, nope, anytime somebody uses more than 7 emojis in a post, the post will get deleted, they'll get a little warning and an invitation to repost again. And you can configure all these things really carefully that some channels are just fine. You get all the emojis out of your system you want in the off topic, for example. Or certain roles can be, oh, hey, you're the emoji factory. That's fine. That's your role, so you get to do that. Whereas people may be at other levels of your other levels of participation. And that ties into the gamification part of it, where you can reward people with extra privileges and extra trust based on the fact that, hey, they've been kicking around for a long time. They've been adding a lot of value. They're answering lots of posts. They're in voice channels a lot. Boom. That person's now allowed to swear. You know, I mean, I don't know if that's a desirable characteristic in your service. It sure is for mine. So people who have shown themselves to be cool, responsible, and just not being a jerk to anybody, they get to do more things.
That's cool. And that's cool that you can set that up. That's neat.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like that's the complexity about setting up the servers, the granularity with which you can apply all these different rules and customs and things like that. But you've got that capacity there. I even used, so everybody knows Paul Duncan, Mr. Moderator. He has a product of words that you would insert into your community tab in YouTube that will auto-delete if they appear. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you do not want to read this list of words. It is scandalous. It is just, it will like literally rip the flesh off your bones. It's terrible. But I took that list, and not only did I use it in YouTube, but I put that into the moderation features that are built into Discord. So if anybody tries to use any of those words, it's just going to auto trip. It'll delete that message. It'll notify that person right away that their message has been removed. and then we can go on. And then there's even rules that say, oh, if that person has had a warning, has tripped the moderation capacity three times in the last 24 hours, well, now they get to go sit in timeout and they don't get to post for a day, but then they get to come back. So there's all these great little tools that can help take the load off when you get to the point that your server is busier. But you know what? I've had to moderate one person in my server in the last 18 months.
That's great.
And it was somebody who just got a little out of hand with his description of an umpire's performance. And one of my no-go areas is you don't drag an umpire. Just doesn't happen. There is no underbus throwing. We are cool. We are supportive. We can criticize decisions and we can talk about them, but nobody ever sucks. Nobody's terrible. Nobody's blind. No name calling. And this guy just accidentally, you know, stepped over that line, and I was boom into his DMs and said, yo, that's not how we work here. You are welcome to stay if you do not ever speak like that again. He was one of my paying members. He's like, okay, cool. I gotcha.
That's great.
But if you have non-negotiables about your culture like that, you say, this is how it's going to be. And you give that personal touch even by DMing somebody and saying, hey, not chill. That's not how we act here. This is what we want to represent. We're protecting everybody here. We want you to be a part of it. Are you good? That makes all the difference. And I find that, I don't know, auto moderation, it's going to be handy at some point, but I don't even need it right now because of how I've built it.
It seems like such a great tool. I keep bashing Facebook, but it's like, it's so easy to do.
Don't stop on my account. You just keep bashing away.
Well, I mean, with a Facebook community, right? It's like you set it up and it's a lot of like, I mean, you see this with a lot of communities on there, a lot of groups that someone sets it up and then it's kind of like they're hands off after a while because they get so burnt out because it is so much work. But it seems like with Discord and all the tools that are there at your disposal to be able to moderate and cultivate this community the way you think it should be cultivated, can really be beneficial and a time saver. And it seems a little daunting to set up at first, but I think once you, like anything, you put in the work and it's just going to be easier and better in the long run. We've talked about a ton. Even I'm a little overwhelmed at like the amount of information we went over and what Discord can do. What resources are out there for anyone that has been contemplating setting up a Discord community versus a Facebook community? What resources are there to help them get started on the right path?
Well,
you can plug yourself now.
People on the podcast aren't going to, okay, this is my plug point. I'm doing my whole pose where I put my hands under my chin and I'm like, hi. We'll get to that in a second, but I think one of the reasons that I did start Discord for Creators is that I was looking for these resources as well. Obviously, I wanted to learn about how all these things worked. And there's a shocking lack of coherent, how would I say it? Just clear information that you can find. We're accustomed in this world, Jared, you and I, of you know, live streamers who have been honing their craft and understand the need to get to the point and service your audience in a very particular organized way. Well, that's not what I've found in the Discord world. And you can search YouTube and you can find lots of videos that can help you with bits and pieces. And there's a few people out there who have done longer videos, but they really do so from a gamer perspective because that's Discord's rich history and that's where it is. But don't let that stop you because Discord is also very popular with educational institutions, post-secondary and things like that because of its versatility and the way it can bring people in to close contact, be able to learn together more productively, more casually, and just organically, I guess. And with that, I think there's going to be more call for people like me who really do want to make it a tangible, organized way of onboarding. Part of it has been, it's a learning process for me, for everybody, figuring out, okay, this is how somebody has to get onboarded into the Discord world. So Right now, what I'd say is, hey, I've got a server for Discord for creators, and I'm sure there'll be a link somewhere in the show notes for things like that. Please pop in and ask me any questions you want whatsoever. My DMs are also open in Discord, and that's where nobody sends me texts anymore. Everybody just DMs me on Discord because they know that I'm alive, and I'm just, it's kind of my brain extension now. And I am working on things like organized courses and that sort of thing, because there's a bunch of us who like to learn that way. We like to tackle something and feel like we're learning everything in a step-by-step progressive manner. But you know what? Don't be afraid to just come into a nice server like the Ecamm server, like your server is going to be, and just click on stuff, because that's the best part about that technology. You're not going to break anything.
Nope.
You might create a couple of extra user accounts, but you're not going to break anything.
Who does that? Who does that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, guys.
So, yeah. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, if you're looking to start a Discord server, I mean, I really would recommend Keeley's content is the place to start. Like, I wouldn't know anywhere else to recommend or send somebody because, like you said, like, there's a lot of information out there tailored to, you know, gaming, and it goes maybe even a little bit more in depth than you need when you're first getting started. But Keeley's, the way you do it, like, it just, it really simplifies everything and makes it easy for someone to get started with a Discord community. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, I had a blast, and I'm really hope that people feel a lot more confident about giving this a try, because really there's nothing to be scared of. Come on, if gamers can do it, we can do it. Creators do all kinds of things. You've been learning how to produce and how to SEO and how to video edit and do all these things. If you can do that, you can absolutely kill Discord. So please come on over and give it a shot.
You guys can definitely do it. And all of Keeley's information will be linked down in the show notes or the description of the video if you're watching on YouTube. We're going to start calling the video version of the podcast a vodcast, according to Doc. We got to get that really trendy. Vodcast. So guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you give it a thumbs up if you are watching on YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And if you're listening to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever your favorite podcast player of choice is, make sure you leave a 5-star rating and review. I really do appreciate it. And I will talk to you guys next week.